The death of grunge rocker Chris Cornell this week brought the issue of suicide to center stage once again. For years, health workers, researchers, and advocacy groups have been trying to lower the national suicide rate. But between 1999 and 2014, it actually rose 24%. And the key to prevention is still largely a mystery. Reporter Joanne Silberner found one reason for that may be the unpredictability of suicide. And a warning, this story may be disturbing to some listeners.
There may be no better way to learn about the hours and minutes before suicide than by talking to someone like Desiree Stage, someone who survived an attempt.
I was in an emotionally and physically abusive relationship. I wasn't really eating. I wasn't really sleeping. I wasn't good.
She was a college student studying psychology. She says she just couldn't see a future for herself.
And I would listen to the trains pass behind my house, and I was really thinking about, God, I would love to lay down on those train tracks and just wait.
She had spent months studying various methods. One afternoon, Stage's partner stormed out after a bitter argument. Stage can't say why then, at that moment, she decided to proceed. She grabbed some nearby substances. She doesn't want to say what.
I wanted to go, and I wanted to be done. I just wanted to be gone.
She was woozy and still hoping to die when paramedics burst in. Her partner had alerted them, and they got her to the hospital in time. Every suicide attempt is unique, says Julie Serrell, a psychologist and professor at the University of Kentucky and head of a suicide prevention group, the American Association of Suicidology. Serrell points to an Austrian study published 5 years ago of people who'd attempted suicide. Nearly half tried within 10 minutes of the initial decision. Others took hours, days, even months.
For other people, it's something that there's a stressor and they have available means and they end up making an attempt that sometimes is fatal.
Paul Currington says for him, it was exhaustion. He was living in Olympia, Washington, working for the state government.
I just kept sinking lower and lower as the years went on until one day in 2012 when that well of inner strength ran out.
He and his girlfriend had recently broken up, but he was hoping to get back together. He went out to a cafe to hear some music, and there she was, a few feet away, with her new boyfriend.
I ran out of the coffee shop, and that was the night I tried to kill myself.
He fled home and collapsed on the floor of his living room.
I don't think I could even hear anything. There was just this sound in my head, this roaring. And I was there for hours, just rocking back and forth.
He had a sharp object in his hand.
And I knew I shouldn't be doing this, but I knew I couldn't take that pain anymore.
The feeling was like falling off a cliff.
And finally, the fear and the anxiety of falling is so great, you start praying to hit the bottom of that cliff because it's better than falling forever.
Currington called a crisis line, and the volunteer counselor kept him talking for what felt like hours. In several recent studies, about 80% of callers said helplines stopped them from suicide. But Desiree Stage says she wouldn't have called.
It just didn't enter my mind. I didn't want help. I wanted to go.
And that's the challenge of stopping imminent suicides, says psychologist Julie Serrell. There's not a single intervention or a single marker.
Definitely not. There's a huge range of variability in how long people are suicidal, how much planning goes into their suicide attempts or suicide deaths, and kind of how much they anticipate that they're going to die.
She does say, based on research and her own clinical experience, talking to people directly won't push them over the edge.
If the idea is already there, actually asking people and working with them to figure out how to get help has been shown to really make people feel relieved and to help save lives.
There are steps that have been shown to reduce the chance that people will try to kill themselves. Treatment for depression, for example. Making sure guns aren't available to people with suicidal intent. Smaller packaging for painkillers. As for Desiree Stage, what would have stopped you?
I have no idea.
After a pause, she says, maybe if someone she trusted had walked in. Paul Currington knows what would not have helped. An appeal to reason, someone saying you'll devastate your family or friends.
You're in too much pain to think about anyone else. You can't.
In a recent survey in the journal Depression and Anxiety, 54% of emergency room doctors and nurses said only some or a few suicides could be prevented. But some researchers are looking for concrete biomarkers like stress hormones or brain scans that might reveal structural or chemical changes. For the moment, the bottom line in the suicide prevention community is that because suicides are so variable, many different programs are needed to bring the numbers down. Hotlines, psychiatric treatment, what's called means restriction, public information campaigns, and more research. For Here and Now, I'm Joanne Silberner.